Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor, welcoming Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, to comment on three capitals in Ukraine conflict: Moscow point of view, Kyiv point of view, Brussels, headquarters of not only NATO, but also the European Union. And to begin our conversation, European Union headlines, all alarming. European nations take differing approaches to shield citizens from surge in energy bills. And German nuclear operators push on with shutdowns despite rethink. And Spain says gas link to wider EU could be ready within months. And Rhine's low water level blights German industry. Not only the Rhine, the Danube, and also the Po are unusually low, damaging agriculture indefinitely. However, we turn to Moscow point of view, given that the Russian Federation's attack on Ukraine is the driver for all of these headlines of alarm. Professor, a very good evening to you. The Moscow point of view here, after 5 months of continuous aggression against Ukrainians and the response from NATO, is building with bigger and more damaging weapon systems. Good evening to you, Professor.
Good evening.
Moscow point of view.
Well, I think the first point we want to make is that although it would seem that lots is going wrong for Russia, that Putin is rather confident. He expects that at some point a collection of headlines, which you've just gone through, is going to yield some sort of a break, and that things are going to start going Russia's way, whether in Ukraine or in the politics of the countries that support Ukraine, although, as we shall see, not in a very well thought out or consistent way. The most important event, tactical or military event, for the last week was Tuesday's attack on the Russian Navy's Saki air base, which is on the western shore of Crimea. And the satellite overheads that we have show tremendous damage to this base, the loss, the destruction of up to perhaps a dozen of the best Russian jet fighters, and probably enough damage to the airframes of others owing to shock and so forth that they will not be airworthy for a while. Now, the question that everybody's asking is, how did this happen? Because this is of great strategic significance. Up to now, Crimea, under Russian occupation, has been a sanctuary from which Russia has been able to launch maritime operations into the Black Sea, and from which she can base her aircraft, and where she can store supplies. It's invaluable. If you look at it, here it is. It's sort of like an Italy coming down in the middle of the Black Sea. And if you're fighting a war with Ukraine and the Blacks, and you have Crimea essentially just at the end of the Dnieper River, this is a tremendously strategic position. Now, all of a sudden, it looks to become itself a battlefield. How was this damage inflicted? Well, no one knows, but the best guess is that the Ukrainians, remember that in the old Soviet days, the great center of jet engine production and also ICBM and missile production was Ukraine. And apparently, I was talking to an expert on Ukraine about this just yesterday, the Ukrainians have not forgotten how to build missiles. And it's thought that they have missiles which are called the Hrym or Bigrom or something like that, which has a range from 200 to 800 kilometers. In other words, it has a much greater range than anything that we would dare to give them. But it is it's a good missile. It can hit its targets. And I suspect that if and when the truth comes out, we're going to find out that the Ukrainians have these missiles and that they're able to use them to deny the previous sanctuary of Crimea to the Russians. Now, what will the effects of this be that Putin has to worry about? The first is he's going to have to reconsider his strategy and particularly his naval strategy, because he now has no reliable base for naval operations in the Black Sea in the heart of Crimea. And he is going to have to, I suspect that the whole business of grain shipments is going to come under reconsideration, because I think that the Russians, having seen their fleet air arm bashed, are not going to be as eager to help with the export of grain. And I think also that Turkey, we don't hear much about Turkey, but the distance from this base to Turkey's northern border on the Black Sea coast is about 320 miles. That is to say, it's Boston to Albany. It's not very far, particularly if you're in a jet plane. And we have not yet really considered what the Turkish stake is, both in the fighting of this war and in the outcome of this war. Yet, clearly, the Turks are fighting about this. But the main thing from Moscow's point of view now, if we look at it where you have to begin with the military on the ground, is that their previous sanctuary or bastion, Crimea, is now threatened with having its communications cut off from Kherson, from the Dnieper River, and also in the east, where there is the Kerch Bridge. And the Russians have warned that it would be a terrible thing if anybody took out the Kerch Bridge. But the Ukrainians have been following their strategy of cutting communications routes. They've just blown up another bridge overnight, further isolating the Russian army that is on the right bank of the Dnieper near Kherson, setting up perhaps the destruction of that army, which could be a possible exit from the war. But I think that Putin is quietly confident that one way or another, we will all quarrel enough among ourselves that he doesn't really have to do much. And according to an expert I just talked to, he feels no urgency about ending this war, whereas all of the Western countries, they, as my friend said, he was asked, how long is this going to last? And he said, it's either going to be 3 months or 3 years. Well, we're past 3 months. Now, if it's 3 years, both Russia, but particularly not just Russia, the West above all, have to do some serious thinking. Because 3 years is a long time and a lot can happen, and it will be transformative.
A moment, Professor. An observation from John Bolton, former National Security Advisor, publishing within these hours in London. Putin commands the battlefield because he can stop the war at any moment, declare a ceasefire, ask for an armistice, go to a negotiating table, set up a DMZ, freeze the conflict, and Zelensky does not have an answer. NATO, at this point, is not in a position to say, Zelensky, you fight on alone. They would rush to the negotiation. And then Putin can restart the battle at any moment. So Moscow, in control of the battle space, comports with your observation that Putin is in no hurry. Do you agree?
Well, I think that's right. I think what Bolton says is correct. And one of the scenarios that I listened to yesterday was precisely what you say, a ceasefire, a dismantling of this rather flimsy apparatus of support that we are using to help Ukraine, and then a pause during which Russia is able to reconstitute, reorganize her army, replenish her supplies of armored vehicles and so forth, somewhere find more troops. That's the thing that she is low on. And then, after the whole thing has been put away with a new Budapest memorandum, a meaningless treaty which serves to cover a war that doesn't end, or perhaps you should say it ends inconclusively, which means it begins again, then Putin can just zoom in, and he could very well succeed with his second special military operation.
Professor H. A. Mackinder, international relations, commenting on Moscow point of view. We move to Kyiv. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.